Well, good morning. It's great to see all of you here today and those that are watching online. I can't believe Pastor Dave said that about me in the announcements this morning. I had to talk to him after the first service, and as a result of that conversation, we're looking for a new executive pastor here. No, what he said is true. It's true. My side of the family, not only do we not produce singers, we produce anti-singers, you know, so it's great. Well, welcome today. Just a quick announcement. Our church is considering taking another group to Israel this coming January 2023. We always team up with First Baptist Church in town, and now Cool Community Church wants to join us. If you're interested in that, contact the office. We're just trying to see if there's enough interest to generate a team for this January. We may wait till next January of 2024, but they're in the process of trying to discover that because there is a minimum number of people we need to take to make it worthwhile. Our guide over in Israel named Boaz is putting together that trip. And so if you're interested in it, just let the office know, and Pastor Greg will be in touch with you to give you some more information. Let's grab our Bibles. We're going to Colossians this morning, Colossians chapter 3. We're trying to wrap up this series that we've entitled Rock Solid, how to have a rock solid foundation in our life to deal with all the circumstances and situations that you deal with. We're getting this series from a teaching that Jesus did in the Bible where he talked about two people built homes. One person built it on the sand, one person built it on the rock. The hurricane came and the house on the sand collapsed. The house on the rock stood strong. And then Jesus said this, the rock that this person built their house on is the owner who practices what he knows. Not that I need to know more about my faith, but what do I put into practice? So we've been spending this summer soliciting questions from you, the congregation, about what areas of our foundation in life can we study and discover how to put into practice some wonderful foundation aspects to make our life strong. And so you have submitted questions about issues in the Bible. We looked through some of those issues in the Bible. You asked a lot of questions about family, so we went through some questions about family. You've asked some questions about culture, and so we looked a little bit about that. We're going to do that a little bit more later on a Wednesday night because I want to move some of this to Wednesday night. I'll announce that in a week or so. And then you asked a cluster of questions about our walk with God. How do we have a strong foundation in our life in regards to our walk with God? And so I wanted to spend this week and next week kind of wrapping up this series. Maybe one more week after that, we'll have to see. But talking about foundational truths about our walk with God, how do we put it into practice? Again, we've talked about things in the Bible. We've talked about questions about family, how to put those into practice. How do we put into practice some things about our walk with God? Here's one of the questions that we receive. What does it really mean to be in Christ? What does that mean? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. There's a turning point in life when we are in Christ. We become a new creation, something new in God's eyes. The old things have passed away. Some new things are come. What does that all really mean? It's a good question. What does it mean to be in Christ? That's a phrase that's used in the Bible. Another question that we got that's right along the same lines of this question is this. What does it mean for a person to love God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself? What does that really look like? You know, if we could summarize all that God wants from us, it would be summarized right here in this statement. Just love God with all you got and love your neighbor as yourself. But what does that mean? How does it work itself out in daily life? If we could take these two questions and kind of summarize them together, it would be this question. How do I practice keeping Jesus first in all things? How do I practice that? What is my relationship with God really like? This phrase, this mysterious phrase, in Christ. How do I love him and how do I love my neighbors? There's a word that I love. How do I live out a Christocentric life? I love that word, Christocentric. Let's say it together. Christocentric. Christ at the center. In other words, when I walk with God, he's not just someone I put in my pocket and call on when I really need him. He's not an add-on to my life. That what Christocentric means, and the questions that were being asked, how does Jesus become the center of my life? That my decisions and my priorities and my lifestyle choices all stem from Christ not being an add-on or in my pocket when I need him, but being at the center of my life. Let's try and tackle those two questions. And the answer is twofold. One, it's to be a genuine saint. Now, by saint, we don't mean what we often think of when we think of the word saint. Saint tends to mean to be perfect or to be better than everybody else. Oh, that person is a saint. That gal is a saint. She's better than the rest of us. That's not how the word is used in the Bible. The word saint is given to genuine followers of Jesus. The word saint is given to those that are part of God's family. And the word saint is the word that God describes his people with, because he not only sees people as they are right now, but God has the ability to see his children for who they're going to be when they get to heaven in their perfected state. And because one day the children of God will be in heaven with God and will be in their perfected state, and he can then call them saints even though we're not there yet. So if you're a genuine follower of Jesus, you're a saint. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a saint. Saint Peter, Saint Michael, tell them that you're a saint. Now tell them, act like it. Act like a saint, right? What we're going to see this morning is that I can be a fan of Jesus, and it doesn't mean I'm in the family of Jesus. So we got to talk about, what is a genuine saint? And then next week we're going to talk about, if I really want to understand what it means to be in Christ and how to love God with everything I got and how to love my neighbor, I need to be a practicing saint. It can't just be ideas. And remember, that's the whole basis for this sermon series. This rock solid is not about what I know, but Jesus said it's the one that puts into practice what they know. So we want to make this very practical. How do I love Jesus? How does he become the center of my life? And how do I practice that out? Let's talk this morning about being a genuine saint. Before Jesus left, he gathered his closest followers together and he gave them some instructions. We call it the Great Commission. Here's your mission. And it's been the same mission from Jesus till today. And here it is. Go and make what? Disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. Notice Jesus didn't say, hey, when I leave and go back to heaven, go tell all my stories. Go repeat all my lessons. No, he doesn't say, go out there and get a bunch of people that think I'm cool. He says, go out there and make what? Disciples. A disciple is not just a fan. A disciple is a Christocentric follower of Jesus. So Jesus instructed his followers, go out and repeat what you are throughout all the nations of the earth. And then baptize. And remember, baptism is a public display that I am a disciple. So being a disciple isn't a private act only. It's strong enough within me that I'm willing to go public with it. I'm willing to profess out loud, I'm a follower, I'm a disciple of Jesus. So even by using this word and this expression, we know that being a genuine saint is not just a fan of Jesus, but it's somebody that's Christocentric. And the path to becoming a saint has never changed. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, if you want to move from a fan to part of God's actual family, the way to make that shift has never changed, and it all has to do with faith. Active faith is the key that unlocks the path that gets us from being a fan into the family. And active faith has always had the same ingredients. And they're three. Their ingredients are belief, repentance, and confession. The Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth Jesus as what? Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So there is belief. I believe that Jesus is who the Bible says that he is. That he's not just a good man, not just a good teacher, but he's actually God the Son, the one that came down and died on the cross and rose on the third day so that he could forgive my sins because I'm imperfect, he's perfect, and he substituted his life for my life. I believe these truths about Jesus. Then there's repentance. Repentance is a simple word that simply means I turn around. In other words, it tells us this. Through my life, I'm walking my own path. Jesus is a good guy. He's in my pocket when I need him. I'm living my life. I'm making my choices. I think I'm doing okay. But I realize that my relationship with God, to be in Christ and to love him with all my heart, soul, and strength, I can't just have him in my pocket. I need to have him at my center. And so I turn around from living that way to now I'm living a Christocentric life the best that I can. And I say, God, I've blown it. I have followed my own way. I have said things I shouldn't have said. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I confess. I repent of that. I was going this way in my life, and now I want to go this way. That's what the word repent means. And then there's confession. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. So when I look at these three ingredients, I have to ask myself the question, do I have active faith? Do I remember a time in my life when I put my belief in Jesus, I repented and turned toward him, and I confessed him as Lord of my life? Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus as what? Lord. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good prophet. But he is king of my heart. He is going to be placed in the center. Now it says that I become not just a fan, I become part of the family. Now what happens when I make that change, because that's a decision that we all have to make individually, I'm not moved from a fan to family because my parents follow Jesus. I'm not moved from a fan into the family because I do spiritual things. Spiritual activities, spiritual conversations, spiritual words, spiritual symbols around my neck are very popular today, but there's a difference between having spiritual fanness and being part of the family. And so, if I'm part of the family, there's some great things that happen. Are you ready? Here we go. I'm going to show you a couple great things, what it talks about to be in Christ. For those that have moved from being a fan to into the family. Number one, a genuine saint is relationally embedded in Christ and personally empowered by Christ. This is the benefit of surrendering my heart to Jesus and moving him from my pocket to the core and surrendering my life to him. I become embedded relationally in him and he empowers my life. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're at this morning. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 tells us, for you have died and your life is what? Hidden with Christ in God. Now before we go, oh, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. What in the world does hidden with Christ in God mean? Well, the word hidden has two different definitions. The first definition means hidden and then revealed this drama. Things were hidden and now they're revealed. And we do see a lot of things in the Bible that were hidden before and they're revealed now. We do see things in the Bible that are kind of mysterious and hidden now that will be revealed in the future. So there is this idea that some things are hidden to be revealed later. It's mysterious, but it's true. There are parts of our walk with God that are true, but they're a little bit mysterious, and they're not going to be fully revealed until we see them. But there's a second definition for this word hidden, and it means to hide in a secure and protected location. So when it says that my life, that your life is hidden with Christ in God, what that means is God loves you so much, he's going to take your life, he's going to relationally embed it with Christ, and he's going to hide it in a secure and protected location until you see him face to face. This gives me security. Because although I have moved from a fan into the family, I still blow it. I still think things, say things, do things, watch things, go places, have attitudes that I know a child of God shouldn't have, but I want to have them anyway. Anybody like that? Anybody wake up in the morning and go, I just want to be bad today. I wake up that way. Because always trying to be good for Jesus is wearing, isn't it? In our culture today, it's getting harder and harder to stand up and live for the Lord authentically. And there are some days we just want to wake up on the wrong side of the bed and go, you know what, God, I know what you want me to do. I just want to be bad today. And God is so good that because I've moved from a fan into the family and I'm relationally embedded in Christ, my life is hidden in a secure and protected location until I see him face to face. That's what it means to be in Christ. Be in Christ. The second thing that it means to be in Christ is that when you became a disciple of Jesus Christ, you were transferred into this safe and protected relational position. In other words, when I was a fan and I became part of the family, I couldn't make this transition on my own. I needed God to make this transition. So it tells us in the scriptures that he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. He rescued me from just being a fan, and he transferred me to being part of the family. And that tells us that in this position as a fan, I couldn't rescue myself out of that position, nor could I transfer myself into the new position. I needed him to do that. He stirred in our hearts. We felt his call to move from being a fan into the family. We responded with belief and confession and repentance, and he rescued us because we couldn't rescue ourselves being a fan apart from him and moving into his family. He transferred us there. That's good news again. He rescued us from the position of being relationally disconnected from him. Let me explain that just for a second. The Bible tells us when we were born into this world, in our relationship with God, we were dead to him in our offenses and sins. When we were born into this world, we were outside the family. And relationally, we were dead to him. Now, human beings are created in the image of God. Therefore, we can have spiritual thoughts. We're spiritual creatures. So we can think about God, we can talk spiritual talk, we can even do some religious ceremonies, or we can do some spiritual activities, even though I'm personally outside because I'm a fan. So I might go to church, I might say God's pretty good, he's okay. I may even have him in my pocket so that when I really get in trouble, I call on him. But relationally, I'm outside. And this is how we're born into this world. We looked several weeks ago about what happened at the beginning with Adam and Eve and how that led to us being born into this condition. And this red bar here is a barrier that makes it impossible for me, left up to myself, to get into the family of God. So the Bible initially describes us as dead to him. The second thing it tells us is that we're helpless before him. Not that he won't help us in our time of need, but that when it comes to getting from outside to inside, I can't do it on my own. I'm helpless. I need his help. Thirdly, it tells us that, man, we're far away from him. Again, not that we can't pray or not that we can't have Bible study or go to church or think spiritual thoughts or do spiritual stuff. But when it comes to this embedded relationship, we're far from him. A fan is far from the family. They're not close together. Let me explain. I love sports. My favorite football team is the San Diego Chargers, as you probably know. The lightning bolt Chargers, I got right out of the Bible, okay? It tells us in the throne room of God, there's lightning and thunder. So I thought, you got to work for the Chargers. It's a heavenly team. But I've liked them for a long time. I have jerseys. I have T-shirts. I have some memorabilia signed by some of the Charger players. I've been privileged enough to go to a couple of their games. I watched them last Sunday, and then they were on again against the Chiefs on Thursday. I watched them again. I can't wait till next Sunday to watch them again. I even have Charger socks. I'm a fan. But you know what? I'm not part of the 53-man roster. Now, I have the athletic ability to be, but God wanted me to be a pastor instead, so I didn't do it. You see what I mean? I'm a fan. But it's not the same as being on the 53-man roster. We can be fans of Jesus, but it's not the same thing as being in the family. That's why the Bible instructs us to examine ourselves to see if we're genuinely in the faith. Because I can be tricked into thinking being a fan is the same thing as being in the family. I can trick myself into thinking, man, I am such a fan of the Chargers, I really am part of the team. And it would be delusional for me to think that. And spiritually speaking, being a fan of Jesus, even though it's going down in popularity, I think, has been a popular position historically in our culture. But being a fan is not the same thing as being in the family. So what God has done for us as we made this transition, he has transferred us to a position of being relationally embedded to him. He moves from saying we're dead to him to now you are made alive in him, which means he has moved me from the outside of the house to inside the house. And because he has hidden my life with Christ in God, the barrier is still there. Now the barrier prevents me from ever getting kicked out of the house. So once I'm in, I'm in. And I'm secure. And I'm happy. And I'm connected. And I can never be kicked out of the house. Because getting into the house wasn't based on what I did. Getting into the house is based on putting my faith in what Jesus did. And so if faith gets me into the house and not my actions cannot get me kicked out of the house. Does that make sense? So now I'm in. And look what it tells me. Before I was dead to him, now I'm what? I'm alive to him. I can actually, the Bible teaches us that his spirit talks to my spirit and I'm a child of God. And man, there's not just like spiritual activities going on in my life. There's actually a spiritual connection. And it's real. I'm alive to him. I'm near to him, not far away. I'm adopted into his family. And in the Jewish mindset, when Jesus used that word, or when the New Testament writers used that word adopted, adopted kids received all the privileges of the natural born children. So what he's saying here is, not only am I in the family, but all the privileges and blessings of the family are mine because I'm adopted. And then finally, Jesus said, you are my friends. Wow. What a change. What a change from going from a fan into the family. What a blessing. So he has helped me by transferring me into a safe and protected relational position. That's one of the blessings. The second blessing of being a family member is that your name is permanently penned in the book of life. If you've never heard of this thing, the book of life, the Bible tells us at the end of the last book of the Bible that everybody's going to stand before God and he's going to open up two sets of books. And the first set of books are all recorded of the actions that I've done in my life. The second book is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lamb's Book of Life is the key book. Because the Bible tells us, look at this, it tells us at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, it says, we're talking about heaven, there's nothing unclean going to be in heaven. And there's going to be no one who practices abomination and lying. Those people are not going to ever come into heaven, but only those whose names are written in the what? Lamb's Book of Life. So this Book of Life is when I move from a fan to in the family, God takes out his pen and he writes my name in the book. And when we stand before God one day and he asks us, why should I let you into my heaven? Because remember, the only way to get there is perfection. I'm going to say, my name's in the book. And he's going to open the book and he's going to see Philip James Sparling. Because when I was 8 years old, I moved from a fan into the family. And although I've blown it a million times, my life is hidden with Christ in God in a secure and protected position until I see him face to face. So what a great confidence booster as I walk through this life, stumbling at times, knowing, number one, my life is embedded in Jesus and it's hidden in him. And number two, my life is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then thirdly, the third benefit, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do you not know that your body is a temple of God and that you, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is where we are secure, we're sealed, God's Spirit comes into us, it empowers us so that instead of saying the wrong things, I can say the right things. Instead of thinking the wrong things, I can think the right things. Instead of doing the wrong things, he gives me the power to overcome them and do the right things. His power helps me, and he seals me until I see him face to face. So what a mind-blowing set of truths to answer the question, what does it really mean to be in Christ? Number one, I move from a fan to the family, and my life is hidden with God, with Christ in God, in a secure and protected location. Number two, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which guarantees me a place in heaven. And number three, he empowers me to live the best life possible here, and he marks me as his own until I get there. Wow. That's pretty cool. That helps me be confident to continue to follow God, even when things are tough or even when I blow it big. But the other side of the coin is also there. God has done all of these things for us when he helped move us from a fan into the family. But what's my side of the coin? Once I have believed and repented and confessed and I've moved into the family of God, what does that mean from my end? Two things. When you gave your life to Jesus, you pledged to glorify him by taking your guidelines for life from him and his book called the Bible. Not only do I receive what God has given to me when he transferred me and he adopted me, but now my end of the deal is I pledge to do my best to live a life that glorifies him by taking the guidelines for life from his book and from him. In other words, we've talked about in this series parenting. We've talked about marriage. We've talked about some things in culture. If I'm a Christocentric follower of Jesus, I take the guidelines for my life from him. I don't take them from my culture. I don't take them from my friends. I don't take them from my family. I take them from him and his word. Look what it says there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things where? Above. Here, I'll just put it on the screen. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, number one, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. My life now is focused on having Jesus be the center, not just an add-on. And the way that I do that is I keep trying to see things from God's perspective. And I live my life out from his perspective and his guidelines. Verse 2 here says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The word mind there also includes my passions. So I set my passions not on things of this earth. I set my passions on things above. Why? Because Jesus has become centristic to my life. That tells me this. What I think is right and wrong isn't taken from my culture. It's taken from him. How I vote is not taken from my culture or from my political party. It's taken from him. How I raise my kids, how I spend my money, where I go, where I don't go, what I watch, what I may not watch, what I read, what I may not read, how I understand individuality doesn't come from culture, it comes from him. Why? Because he has changed me from being a fan into the family, and my response to that is to live out a Christocentric life. That's what it means to be in Christ. And that's the challenge that we have for the rest of our lives. How do I take my cues from God and his word as a response to what he's done for me and as a response of making him the center, not just the add-on? I take my cues of what I think and how I see our world and how I live in our world and what I believe and how I vote and how I spend my money. I take all of those cues from him, even when my culture says, you're wrong. Number two. That's a tough one. The second thing is that when you gave your life to Jesus, you gave him permission to transform you into what he wants it to be and surrendered your life plan for his plan. If I say Jesus has moved me from a fan to the family and he's become centristic in my life, but I don't ever let him transform me into what he wants me to be or to live out his plan for my life instead of my plan, then I'm really just a fan, not part of the family. What's interesting is God is more interested in you becoming a better person than just having a better life. And this is a hard one. It's hard because God making me a better person isn't always an easy job, is it? There's a super interesting verse in the Bible that says Jesus became all that God wanted him to be through his sufferings. Jesus had to grow as a man, as a human, into what God wanted him to be, and one of the training tools was suffering. And if I'd venture to guess, if you and I sat down and talked about the last 3 or 4 years of your life, you would mention there's been some difficulties. We looked at this a couple weeks ago because that was one of the questions. And we discovered that difficulties is one of the training tools and the shaping tools that God uses to transform me into what he wants me to be. And when I was moved from a fan into the family, God did his part in hiding my life with Christ in him, writing my name in the book of life, and indwelling me with the Holy Spirit to give me power and strength and to seal me for that day. On my part, I said, you know what, Jesus, I'm not going to be a fan anymore. I'm going to be a family member. And being a family member means I'm letting him change me into what he wants me to be. Now, Jesus, God only wants us to be one thing, just one thing. He wants to change us to be one thing, and it's made clear in this popular verse in Romans chapter 8. We love this first part of the verse. We know that God causes all things to work together for what? For good. Don't we love that verse? We say it to each other all the time, don't we? Oh, I know you're going through it, but hey, God makes all things work together for good. To those who love God and called according to his purpose. Now look at verse 29. For those he foreknew, he also predestined. Oh, so that means God knew me before I knew him. And when he chose me to be part of his family, he predestined me. What did he predestine me to? Did he predestine me to be transformed into a good life? Well, maybe, but what he for sure predestined me to be conformed into the image of who? What does God want for my life? He simply wants me to be more like Jesus. He wants me to talk to my parents like Jesus would talk to his parents if my parents were his parents. Jesus wants me to talk to my family and to treat my family the way he would treat my family if he was in my shoes. Jesus wants me to love my neighbor the way that he would love my neighbor if he was my neighbor's neighbor. Jesus would want me to be, God would want me to be like Jesus, and I worship God, I pray, I participate in relational practices. God just wants one thing for your life and one thing for my life. He wants to transform me to be more like Jesus, to talk more like Jesus, to think more like Jesus, to love more like Jesus. It's a simple goal, but it's hard to transform human beings, isn't it? But my part of this whole moving from a fan into the family is that I have surrendered to allowing him to do this in my life. So if we want to talk about what does it mean to be in Christ, that mysterious phrase, what does it really look like to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself? The first part of working that out is not to be a fan of Jesus, but to be a genuine saint. And again, the way that we become a genuine saint is through belief, repentance and confession, and trusting that God moves us from outside of his family and transfers us into his family, embeds us in a relationship with him, hides us with Christ in God until we see him face to face, holds us in a secure and protected location, writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, indwells within us the Holy Spirit, who gives us strength to overcome things we want to overcome. And on my end of the bargain, I am willing to allow him to be the guide for my life. And I'm willing to allow him to transform my life into what he wants it to be, which is to be more like Jesus and not just run my own life. And I don't allow culture to shape my thinking. I don't allow family to shape my decisions. I want my decisions, my thinking, my passions to be centered around him and his word, because I want to live out a Christocentric life. That's what it means to be a genuine saint. And then next week, we're going to talk about how do we really practice this? Practice this. So that's a complicated answer to the two questions for today. We have more questions that we'll wrap up with next week because they tie to how to practice this. But let's leave this morning thinking about the question, am I a fan or am I in the family? Because there's a big difference, not only for this life, but for the life to come. And Jesus has invited us to come into the family. And I can't get there through my performance. I can't get there through my own initiatives. I need his help to get me there. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much, that you know us so intimately, and yet your heart rages with love for us. Thank you for communicating to us how to move from just being a fan to be part of the family. And I know, Lord, that maybe even most of us here this morning or those that are watching have at some point made that shift. We have confessed our belief in you. We've repented and we've confessed our hope in you. You know, if you're here this morning, before I finish my prayer, let me just challenge you with what the Apostle Paul challenged his readers with. He said, examine yourself to see if you're of the faith. Test yourself, he says. So here's the test right now in your own heart between you and God. Do you remember confessing him as the Lord of your life? Asking him to bring his grace and forgiveness and moving you from being a fan into the family. Surrendering your life. And if you remember that genuine experience, that genuine cry out to him, then you can trust what he tells us, that he did transfer you into the family and he has embedded your life relationally into a position of family. And he mysteriously has hidden your life with Christ and God, and you are in a secure and protected position until you see him face to face. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that confidence. Maybe you realize you've been a fan, but you haven't been part of the family. And so even this morning, you can just cry out to the Lord in your own heart and say, Lord, I confess my belief in you, that you're more than just a good teacher. Lord, you're more than just an add-on to life. You can repent in your heart and say, God, I've been walking in one direction and I want to turn around. I confess the way that I've been walking hasn't been with you. And then you just make him Lord. Just tell him, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I surrender my path to you. I surrender the transformation of my life into what you want me to be. Before I close in prayer, if there's somebody here this morning that realizes that they wanted to move from a fan into the family, I just want to say a prayer for you. So if you did that prayer, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you, a couple? Great, thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you that you're so good to us, that you are so real to us, that although there's so much mystery in our spiritual life, there's also a lot of rock solid truth. Help us, Lord, to get our cues in life, our guidelines from you and from your word. When it's so easy to go along with culture or to go along with friends. Help us to be a light to our world, to bring flavor to it as salt does. Help us to be kind and loving. Thank you for your work in our life of transferring us from outside your family to inside your family, that we can truly say we are in Christ. Thank you that you can do that for us, and only you can do that for us. Bless us as we go today. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful day today.